Good evening. This is the Pacifica National Board Governance Committee. It is 8:12 p.m. Eastern Time, and the secretary, that's me, I'm R. Paul Martin, secretary is present. The chair is not present yet. However, we do appear to have a quorum, which we'll now officially establish by calling the roll. Grace Aaron.
Here.
David Adelson. Teresa Allen. Mary Berg.
Here.
Max Blanche.
Here. Hello. Sorry I'm late.
Who's this?
Dave
Adelson is here.
Okay.
Lydia Brazon.
Here.
Marty Derlin.
Here.
Jane Gatewood.
Here.
Bob Lederer. R. Paul Martin. Here. Sarv Rundawa.
Here.
Sandra Rawline. Serene Roberts. Rob Robinson. Deb Shafto. Hakim Takash.
Here.
Okay, we have a quorum.
Okay, are we on the stream?
Yep.
Ah, wonderful. Okay. Hang on just a second, and let me get the agenda out that I sent around. I was in a meeting. My apologies. Okay. So we just did the call to order and the roll call.
That's what we've done so far.
Did everybody receive the proposed agenda that was sent around?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Would anybody care to add anything to it, or is there a motion to approve?
I move to approve.
Okay.
Mary Berg.
Is there a second? Do we need a seconder, Paul?
No.
On the committee, actually.
Pardon me?
Not on a committee.
In a committee, you actually don't.
Okay. All right. So there's a motion to approve it. Is there any objection to approving it?
I have a question.
Yeah.
It says scheduled start time. It said a proposed agenda time 2 hours.
Yes.
Do you want that part in, which would mean that at 10:12 adjournment would happen?
At least.
Or do you want to put in adjournment or just leave it up?
Let's
say.
That's
fantastic because that's what you wrote originally.
Yeah, 2 hours from the time of convening. So let us say that 10:12 would be adjournment.
Okay, so that'll be item 6.
Okay. Additionally, in the approval of minutes, do we want to consider the minutes you sent around, which just basically said we didn't make quorum and rescheduled, correct?
Well, that's I'm told that's what that's the way we have to do it there.
Okay, great.
What we can do is we generally yes, we can do that. And when we get to that, should we approve the agenda, I can explain how we can do that rapidly.
Okay. And there's one other thing. Under old unfinished business, I have it listed as an hour total. It should be an hour and 20 minutes because I had added 20 minutes from to the contracts approval thing. So old
unfinished. Mine says an hour and 20 minutes.
Oh, does it?
Yeah.
Mine doesn't. I have 4, old/unfinished business. 1 hour.
Oh, I just have old business, 1 hour, 20 minutes. Must have been a revision.
Well, okay, it's 1 hour, 20 minutes.
Oh, okay.
Business. Okay, with that, if there's no objection.
Do we have scheduling of next meeting on the agenda?
We don't need to because we've scheduled for the rest of the year. So if somebody wanted to add a meeting, they could, but our next meeting's currently scheduled for 3 weeks from today, is it? 2 weeks from today?
3 weeks.
The fourth Thursday. Yeah, so it's 2 weeks from today. No, it's excuse me, 3 weeks from today. Sorry, 3 weeks from today.
4 weeks from today. The 4th,
the 28th, it's 3 weeks from today.
All right,
we won't worry about our calendar right now.
Is there any objection to approving the agenda? Hearing none, it's adopted. Okay, the next thing is approval of minutes, and we'll do May 26th and the June 23rd minutes separately. Is there a motion to approve May 26th?
I mean, I'm sorry.
The May 26th minutes were sent around as an addendum to the agenda.
I so move. This is Max.
Okay. Is there any objection to approving those minutes? Hearing none, they're approved. June 23rd.
All right. The way we... 1 second. Okay. I'm typing in the thing. Oh, wow. Okay. June 23rd, what we can do is, usually, of course, we dispense with reading of the minutes because we send them around ahead of time.
Right.
Since these were sent around just earlier, What I would suggest is I simply read them because it'll go fast.
Great. Please do.
Okay, the minutes are... I'm calling it a meeting. I think we call it a meeting. Draft minutes of PNB Governance Committee meeting June 23rd, 2015. Meeting convened at 8:45 p.m. Eastern Time. The chair and secretary being present. A roll call determined that no quorum was present. Attending Grace Aaron, R. Paul Martin, Bob Lederer, David Adelson, Mary Berg, Max Blaschet, Rob Robinson, Sarv Rundawa. Motion by David Adelson. Adjourn meeting till July 7th. Passed without objection. Adjourned 8:45 p.m. Eastern Time. That's the minutes.
This is Jane. I move to accept.
Second.
Okay. Any objection? Okay.
I'd like to. This is Serena. I'd like to abstain.
Oh, okay. Good. I mean, you're here. Good.
Okay, so then the next thing on the agenda is, hold on, got to get back there, old business, unfinished business. The first item for 30 minutes is bylaws convention. Lydia, you're the convener of the working group. Do you have, do you want to take it from here?
Oh, okay, first. Yes, okay, let me see if I can, pulling up these notes here. okay, well, we have a meeting, that's the good news, successfully, and we still have some of the groups that hadn't met as of our last meeting, in particular WPFW, and I think Berkeley had also not met recently, but some of the other groups had been meeting regularly and had offered some specific proposals, in particular New York. Do we have anyone from New York on the phone right now? No, okay.
Serene's here.
Serene, yeah.
Serene, are you here?
I am, sorry.
Oh, okay, because Serene was actually the one who raised what they had in mind, which was the most dramatic. The thing that we ran into was, of course, in reading the bylaws very carefully and realizing how much of what everyone was proposing had to do with the elections, that, of course, it's going to require a vote by the membership. And that the original thinking, of course, was to tie that membership vote for bylaws changes to the election so that you don't have to spend the money for a separate mailing. And but in any event, if we have the convention in March and you have to notice for a couple of months, and by the time you get everything going, you wouldn't be able, you either have the choice of not having an impact on the next election. In other words, none of these changes could take place for next year's election. Or, as New York had proposed, was to send out a mailing for a vote just on these bylaws changes and make the election the following spring, which is the basis of one of their major changes and one that several signal areas have been talking about having it in the spring. So that was actually the most dramatic and concrete proposal, I think, that, you know, everything else is, there are other very important discussions taking place as well. Certainly in Los Angeles, we had, at the time that we had our first election here, we had consulted the League of Women Voters, who had said they couldn't believe that we had put all of these election procedures in bylaws, that was highly irregular, because those, if procedures have to stay very flexible, and that should be policy. Certainly, mandating elections, etc., should be in the bylaws, but the particulars really have to remain flexible. And so that discussion has certainly taken place here. Hopefully it has at the other signal areas as well. But even to make that, any of these changes, you still have to go through the bylaws, both the amendment and the voting by the membership process, regardless. And it's simply because the timeline just does not look like it would permit having all of this done in time for the next elections, that actually what New York is proposing is sounding, at least to us in L.A., a little bit more inviting.
Can I ask a question about that?
Sure.
Would, is where it is now that it's desired that this committee would make a recommendation to the PNB on any of these proposals, or where?
Well, no. I mean, hopefully, and that was my next question. I have heard a couple of people have said yes to the following question: did we get this the extension to July 15th?
Yeah.
That passed. Okay. So on July 15th, I know here in LA. I mean, we are all, because we have representatives from all the signal areas on our National Bylaws Convention Committee. So we are all going to be turning in reports to this committee, right, from all the signal areas. And based on those recommendations, we make a joint, you know, a cohesive recommendation to the full national board.
So
the original thinking was that there are probably a number of issues that everybody agrees on that are fairly universal, including, like, I know one member of our committee here made a list of all of the typos, just typos, mm-hmm. right? So those kinds of things could be passed by the PNB actually coming up.
That's great.
But not the electoral things, right? Those are very specific to membership. That is the problem. Having said that, there are a number of issues that we had originally thought, oh, we could pass with unanimous consent and on a number of issues, and I still believe that to be the case. But in terms of literally doing
examples?
It, you have to have membership.
Can you give examples?
An example, well, number one, there has to be a big decision about policy versus what's going to be in the bylaws. And so my example, you have to put it within that context, is the one that I used to this committee before, that we would require that the statement be included in the ballot pamphlet when it goes out to the membership. And because we know how close we came to not having that happen. Okay, so that is either going to be a bylaws change, or if we make a change to separate that type of thing from bylaws and make it policy, it would still require the membership's approval to parcel out that kind of detail. But anyway, there are other things that just through the sheer grunt of the experience of all of the LSBs and all of the work that we've done, there are some things that have become rather obvious, right?
And some things are things like, for example, committee compositions of national committees and other various requirements, and those things can all be passed by the board since they don't involve manner or of election of delegates, right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, there are, for example, our elections committee came to us, and this is a committee, it's a technical committee, actually, and they came to us with what is universally agreed upon as being an error in terms of how we describe the STV voting for committees in the bylaws, or just STV voting, because of the way we have been rounding up, because of the formula that it gives in there, whereas everyone agrees should be rounding down. And our computer, when we do the regular elections, rounds down automatically. So we need to be consistent. And so that elections committee brought us a document at our last meeting, which we'll be putting out to all of the committees as well. That's one of those technical things that will probably be easily agreed on. It was in the committee, certainly convincing. And they give the whole rationale and the whole points of reference and so forth. And that's they were also going to make a similar recommendation, but having to do with the full board elections. And that will require a bylaws voting by the membership. So everything is overwhelming and complex is all I can say. It's not that any number of people can't come up with things to change, and there is generally agreement on most of these things. Now, in terms of the convention itself, that is actually a little bit trickier as well. My understanding from our GM was that the general managers were asked to include in the budget $15,000 per station. And so our local committee had said, well, you know, we don't want it to exceed an extra $5,000 to that, but that was not passed by our local station board. They wanted more information as to what the convention would be. And, of course, we were only saying if we end up having an on-site convention, that's like a board meeting, right, that that we just didn't want it to go beyond an additional $5,000 from what a standard board meeting costs, which I'm assuming that because the $15,000 is what each station pays for the national board meeting. So so that's about as far as we got in terms of the convention, because on that issue, at least locally, there hasn't been a lot of unanimous agreement on what that convention should look like. But before we could even get to that as to when we're going to have it and so on and so forth, we have to agree on, I think, this larger issue. Are we going to postpone the elections? If we postpone them until the next year, it means everybody gets the extra months in terms of their term, well, and it means sending out a mailing, of course, with all the bylaws changes.
Question, can we postpone the elections? I mean, as things stand right now, the number and manner of elections includes specifying, you know, certain dates and certain things. So
no, you'd have to change the bylaws. I mean, the whole point is this would require a mailing from all of the stations with proper notice.
You mean a membership? This has to have a membership.
It has to be voted by the membership.
Well, what's the timing on such a thing? Is it even feasible? Isn't there something like 6 months of lead time built into that?
There was a 6 month. The only 6 month I read was the 6 month from the resolution that you all passed that November to the notice of the convention in March. In other words, we'd have to notice the convention in September. But in terms of the other, if you're talking about 60 days notice of all of these changes, and we would have to do a mailing. Again, it would still be a very close. It would be very close because we couldn't start planning for the elections that we normally do and start putting together in late summer.
Jane, I have a question.
And I haven't seen the schedule. Serene was going to send that to us, and so she should speak to exactly what their proposed schedule looks like. But they were talking about like May elections and whatever. What we're saying is that if we have a convention in March, then right afterward, right following immediately at some point, we have to send out a mailing because you either have to hold the elections or not hold the elections, depending on how the membership votes. On the other hand, if you send out the elections with endorsement by all of the boards favoring this, your membership more than likely is going to go along with those recommendations of the bylaws. The big challenge is going to be getting a quorum from the membership. Go ahead. Who was asking a question?
I had a question. You might lose me. I'm about to go in a tunnel. But the vote by the membership and the bylaws convention could handle two separate groups of things. In other words, we have to have a vote by the membership on any election-related items.
Mm-hmm.
And then the bylaws convention might deal with a slew of other things. Is that right?
No, that's not what I was saying. I was saying that we could have the bylaws convention, whatever that is, and then put out the necessary changes, which that would be in March, assuming you have a public PMB meeting in June. You couldn't send out before June. The crisis here is that we normally would have already decided on an election supervisor if the membership were to turn down the extension on the elections. It would put us behind schedule. Mm-hmm. So if anybody has any ideas, the problem is the time frame here. So so the other choice is that we can go ahead and have our bylaws convention, but realize that we cannot implement any of the electoral changes in time for next year's election if we elect not to change the time frame. So
checked the bylaws, and it says, if a vote of the members is required, then no later than 60 days after the board and the delegates vote. So the board has to approve it by a majority, and three of the five LSDs
right.
have to approve it.
Right.
And then you
so that would be like June.
Till a ballot is distributed.
Well, you need 60 days notice posted before you send
right.
a ballot,
exactly.
It looks like to me.
Exactly. So it would be
and then no later 30
impossible.
Days after that.
Right. So you can either gamble that
mm-hmm.
the membership is going to go along by, you know, with the board recommendation and vote, which I suspect it would. But, you know, if it didn't, then you would really be in a bind because we theoretically by then should already have, you know, our election supervisor in place and start this whole thing that we do in August.
Go ahead.
So put me on a stack or something.
Yeah, go ahead.
Mary Berg also.
Okay.
Before we go there, I just want to point out that my understanding of what Lydia said is that the LSB committees are going to report back to here, and then back to this committee. So I presume that on our committee meeting later this month on the 28th is when we would actually take action on this. So we're really in a sort of discussion and information phase. Is that correct?
Yes, that's right. And I would urge everyone on this committee, because ultimately it comes to us to make the recommendation to the board, is that we study that whole section about the process. The timeline is really where we're up against the wall. I'm not even, you know, addressing all of the nuts and bolts of bylaws changes and even the convention, but we just need to know what kind of time we have.
Okay, so Mary and then our Paul.
Well, our timeline was already pretty scrunched, and I think this is not feasible. So I think we have no choice but to go for the membership vote and do the extension along the lines of Serene's group or whatever. But you know, whether they held in the spring or whatever. But we are not going to be able to keep to this schedule, and we're not going to be able to keep to the bylaws convention schedule. It doesn't seem as if, certainly not in time for this election. So I think we ought to just plan for that now. There's just no way to do that would have any kind of a semblance of a valid election. The time frame would be just too short. So I think we should just go ahead and try to get and proceed with getting the timeline extended, including the membership election and so forth.
Our Paul?
I agree that the crunch is really in there, and it's dicey, because just looking at it without us really parsing every little bit of this, it would be very, very tight. Also, I mean, I think at some point somebody needs to sit down and, you know, with graph paper or something, or maybe some computer program will do this, and, like, parse this out and, you know, plug in 60 days of this, plug in when the PNB will be meeting, and then, of course, when are you going to get that three LSBs will rapidly approve after it. Then you got your 60 days. Then you've got the voting period. And the voting period, as far as I can tell, is going to be during probably the summer, a lot of it.
You mean the membership vote?
Well, the membership vote.
Right, and I don't know how long that is.
A lot of people are mm-hmm. away at that time.
Oh, right.
You have to get a quorum.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another added detail in there. I'm thinking that since the real trigger here is that we need to get the membership vote thing to happen, because the amendment proposed, I'm just trying to scroll down to it here, says basically the reason why we would need that is because we're going to extend the terms of office of people. And
right.
So I think we're going to have to, in my opinion, we need to seriously look at the idea that that ain't going to be able to happen because of time constraints. And, you know, we would be in, I mean, we would have to go and get the election supervisor, get the entire structure set mm-hmm. up while we're mm-hmm. parallel to that, trying to set up something to postpone all of it by X number of months.
It's just not feasible.
And so that's a problem right there, I think. We'll also confuse voters like crazy, probably, because they'll hear about it. And I think that the smart thing might be to say, we don't have the time to do that. I mean, this is without parsing it out and seeing if there's theoretically a way to do it, even. We might want to just say, let's leave out that particular part and go for the other stuff and leave the bylaws, election stuff where we're maybe going to extend terms and all of that, leave that for some future point, you know, a year later or something.
Well, just to reiterate, what I think is going to happen is we'll get some formal recommendations from the committee on our next call, along with the input of the LSBs on these points. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
This is Serene. Can I get on back?
Go ahead.
I dropped. I'm emailing right now the sort of draft schedules that we were working on, the ones that Lydia referred to. Yes, finally. And for those of you who have access, it should be hitting the listserv right now. We had come up with a proposal that had nominations beginning in January, and then balloting happening in May. And that would require the extension of the terms, which would require the mailing of the referendum to the members and so forth. And I hesitate to, as much as I think it makes sense, I hesitate to do anything that's going to cost more money. How we might do that. I mean, if Pacifica is doing general mailings, we can certainly perhaps include it in that. It's not as though it can't happen. It just means it's something we have to think about and talk about. But in the meantime, at our bylaws revision committee recently, it's hard to keep track, we actually came up with a slightly different timeline. Anybody have it yet?
I didn't have it.
And by the way, I have a request that prior to our next meeting, I don't have it yet. Mm-hmm. Prior to our next meeting, I'm hoping that we can get both the committee's recommendations and the LSB's input in writing before the meeting so we can know what the motions will be considering and what the different alternatives that have been proposed are.
Yeah, I'm actually not offering this as a motion per se. I think it helps if people have the dates in front of them.
Right. No, we agreed that we're not going to be considering motions right now. We're just in discussion.
Right. Well, I don't know about LSB input. I can't speak for our LSB or our agenda to discuss bylaws, but especially I know our next LSB meeting is an evening meeting, so that doesn't even seem feasible because our report. Anyway, the dates aren't cohesive. The only thing I can say is that we should be getting reports from all of the various bylaws committees and recommendations, but it's getting increasingly complex. And so, again, the other option is to just not make any changes regarding elections for the next election.
Right.
I hear you. Still don't have it, Serene. Were you finished?
No, it just bounced back. I'm trying to figure out what the problem is. But in the meantime, the changes that we made, the most recent changes that we're discussing, doesn't change the start date, and it doesn't change the end date. So it doesn't change the term. It doesn't affect the necessity It doesn't affect the election the national supervisors. Option to extend for a quorum, you know, the two-week extension or whatever the case is. It doesn't stop a December meeting of the new board, etc. So those issues aren't a problem. It's just a matter of sort of cutting down or rearranging the way the entire time is apportioned because, you know, as we have, a two-month nomination period, which is hardly a necessary thing.
Right. Well, we all wanted that change. That's a universal, you know, basically, I think I've only heard... Hello?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I think I've only heard one person who has objected to that. But everybody else is very... And all of the supervisors have always said we need the shortened period and we need the long... That's probably the most pressing issue, especially because of quorum issues. But, again, that's an electoral issue.
Sorry, go ahead.
Uh-huh. And so depending on the interpretation of the bylaws is that would still require a vote by the membership.
You know, I don't know that I agree with that. I think that if we are not changing, I think the specific language was that if we're changing the length of the terms or affecting the rights of the members.
The language is number and manner of
and
election.
And manner, mm-hmm.
Right. So
well, that
I
does change the manner.
Right. So I hardly think that changing the
apportionment. Right.
Wait. Serene has the floor. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have interrupted either.
Okay.
Let's talk one at a time.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I don't think that it's going to be a problem to change it, because it's not affecting any fundamental membership right. It doesn't, and it doesn't affect the terms of anyone who's going to be sitting on the board, who's currently on the board. It doesn't extend, it doesn't shorten. It just makes, I think, sense in terms of watching out for, so we don't have fundraisers happening at the same time that the ballots are hitting everyone's box, you know, and the kind of chaos that then creates in the programming schedule. I don't think that we're affecting members' rights, and I think we should be able to do this without too much of a problem.
We can keep talking about this, but I feel we have spent half an hour, almost half an hour on it, but we were ahead of schedule because we did the other more quickly, so it's up to people how much more. The question is, what do we need to deal with on this call? What's the most important things to address?
I'm sorry, who's trying to get on the stack? Sarv.
Sarv, we haven't heard from you. Why don't you go and then Lydia?
Okay, my question is for Lydia. There are two stations that you didn't have any input, obviously, WPFW and KPFA.
No, I didn't say I didn't have any input. They just hadn't met as of the time of the last meeting. But Mary Berg has been very... Rob Robinson has been representing WPFW, and we have had all of the input from Berkeley up to a certain point.
No, Mary Berg here. No, we have not had anybody convening here.
You've been helping us with the materials and stuff like that.
The only thing we sent is an incomplete report of the election committee, but nothing more has happened yet.
Okay.
And it's not complete.
Okay.
My question is, there's not an extensive kind of a participation here, it seems to me. And also, you mentioned the manner of elections. Are there any other outstanding issues that you think that they are brought to your attention?
Both election supervisors had turned in some extensive reports, as well as the supervisors from the individual stations. Most of those recommendations are all, you know, great ideas for whatever, but the biggie, the big issue here is the time frame of mailing versus registering candidate.
Can you shed some light on some other important issue maybe that you think that through the network that people are concerned with?
The other stuff is pretty, is technical stuff of how to handle certain things. Basically, the elections go unchanged. There were, you know, little things here and there. It's nothing major. The other stuff I'm not concerned about. I'm just concerned about how we can get anything approved in a timely manner given the amendment constraints in the bylaws.
I have a question, Lydia. How many directors are on the working group? Because if the LSBs make their recommendation and the working group makes its, there's some things that we've noticed in the way that PNB functions, like, for example, the inability to form committees on the spot, you know, which is hugely time-consuming.
Mm-hmm.
You end up getting all these delays built in and other little technical stuff like that that I definitely think, you know, these are just administrative changes.
Right.
And I would really hope that some of them get fixed. There are other even things that are more substantive about committees and et cetera, that should get addressed. So is that something, or are those issues coming to you guys yet? And if not, do we need to...
Locally, they have been addressed in passing, right? Again, the whole the PNB forms its committees is rather cumbersome in so many respects. But other than that, no, we haven't done anything in concrete because we've been kind of overwhelmed with the concept of how we're going to move forward with this other.
Can I ask another question? Is when we're talking about getting the recommendations we're going to get, are those recommendations about the conduct and the nature of the bylaws convention, but not really about and timetables and things like that, but not really about the content of any bylaws changes, or are they?
I think it's both.
Okay.
It's both, because what you're going to get, I mean, you're going to get something from us as a bylaws committee right? But you're also going to get the individual reports from the stations, and at the local level, I assume that what's happening in LA is happening in other signal areas, but I'm not sure that we have been discussing both. And we haven't had as much agreement on the nature of the convention as we have on the bylaws changes, actually.
Anybody else?
So what I was going to recommend is that on the big issue for those of you at your LSB meetings, if you can get a sense of your LSBs about, you know, if that's kind of a unanimous consent that everybody would be happy to extend on the back end and shorten on the front end of that time period, that would be enormously helpful, because that's a good question. But also, how, if they feel that we can do that, that's another big question. Do you believe that that's the manner of elections and that we have to have a membership vote, or do you feel we can do it by LSB and PNB vote alone? That's if everyone can ask that at their LSB meetings, that would be fantastic.
I have a question.
Go for it.
For the minutes, you're saying WPFW and KPFA have not had their bylaws groups meeting.
I said they had not met as of the as of our last meeting.
And I am Mary Berg here. We have not been able to convene any. The LSB didn't approve it exactly. They don't have to, but it set it back some. So we still have not got people who are willing to be on this. Maybe three people.
We've had discussions. This is Max within the governance committee. That's about the extent of it.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't have that many people. I've tried to solicit people, but I think I've had about three people that are actually willing to do it.
This is Jane, student at WPFW. I sent out a notice to all the board members after the one working group meeting I participated in a few weeks back, and I did get input from one board member who his input was we need to cut it down to 5 pages tops, and would like to see the policy separated from the
the bylaws.
Yeah, and then I mean there are board members who are interested, but it is overwhelming. Everybody is pretty stretched thin. We have a meeting on Wednesday, and I think that we can certainly raise that question. I appreciate having a very straightforward question for people to consider and give feedback on, because I'm confident people will consider that.
And we have a bylaws convention meeting, a PAC bylaws convention meeting tomorrow night. So hopefully what we can do out of that is perhaps send out an email to this committee as well prior to our July 15th deadline.
That would be good.
If you have any specific things you'd like feedback from, you know, I'll make every effort to get PFW to respond to things.
Okay.
But at this point, I don't think we're going to initiate anything other than, just try to simplify things.
Yeah, I'd like to bring the discussion in for a landing. Is there anything else that people feel we need to address right now? We're expecting to get formal, to deal with this formally at our next meeting.
I do have a question.
Marty.
Hello?
Okay, Marty, and then is that Grace?
Yes.
Okay, Marty, and then Grace?
Okay, I just wanted to say that I've asked Steve Pierce to talk to the Affiliates Committee about affiliates issues, and I've suggested some that I see. I'm not sure we'll have something by July 15th, but we'll have something, I think, by the end of the month anyway, from the affiliates.
Great. Right.
That's another issue.
Well, it would be nice if we could get it prior to the 28th at least, so
yeah,
that we have that input at our meeting, because we're going to,
okay,
I think,
I'll
start moving.
Okay, I'll have to happen.
Okay, Grace?
Yes, I'm sorry. I was off the line for 2 or 3 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
We
made all the important decisions. Don't worry about it. Done.
Okay. Do other stations have bylaw suggestions in writing?
I know that Deb Shafto has. Deb had said that they have an entire new bylaws. They have the bylaws, and all their changes are in blue and whatever. But I never got that copy.
Okay. Does anyone else besides Lydia know anything about it? Any work that's been done by the other stations?
We haven't done it here, I can say.
And by the way, Grace is our wonderful secretary on our bylaws committee, so we have minutes that we, from which we're going to call our report. We've had minutes that she has drawn up after every single meeting. It's been wonderful. So that's what our report is going to be. It's not going to be a very formal, you know, elaborate report. It's just going to say what we've addressed up to this point, the things that have jumped out at us.
Yeah, it would be really good to have a website with all of the suggested bylaws changes on it.
Well, I know that that's one of the things that we're looking into, is that one of our committee members here was going to set up a Yahoo listserv. She did, in fact, for all of the committee, just committee members, not for the listeners at large yet. But then some of the people on the National Bylaws Convention Committee felt that it should be a pack list, and Rob was going to talk to Pete to see if we could get a pack listserv specifically for this, just for committee members.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I haven't heard. I sent him a reminder email a couple of days ago. I haven't heard back.
Serena,
so as soon as that happens,
email.
I can let you know, because it will eventually include people who are actually on the committees dealing with this.
Doreen, your email just came in.
Okay. Oh, did it? Okay.
Okay, so I'd like to move the agenda if there are no objections. Okay, then the next item on the agenda is, hold on a second. Now I
policy
have to
on contracts approval.
Policy on contracts approval. So I sent around, Grace Hockham and I met yesterday, and we had a productive discussion that lasted about an hour. I sent around the output of that, and there was one item that I added later in the list of relevant contracts, which was things that address intellectual property and or distribution rights. And we talked about that, but for whatever reason, I didn't write it. So I do think it would be nice to consider it. But has everybody looked at it and read it?
Mm-hmm.
What we sent around. Shall I reread it so that anybody listening can follow along the discussion? It's relatively short.
Sure, it's short.
Okay, so what we suggested, and by the way, we suggest that each of these five items that we think are relevant be considered individually, so we can get agreement on each piece of that. The draft policy, that the executive director or CFO, as relevant, will inform the National Board Coordinating Committee of the intent, the intent to develop, establish, or enter into new contracts at least 14 days before taking action on such contracts. The policy shall apply to contracts for which any of the following apply. First, they persist for longer than a specified duration. Second, they affect more than a specified number of people within Pacifica. Third, are for amounts over a specified dollar amount. Fourth, are given to counsel for drafting or review. And fifth, address intellectual property and or distribution rights. The coordinating committee shall be given authority to request PNB review prior to execution of particular contracts if it feels that review or approval are desirable or necessary, and to assign review of the contract to other committees of the board. The National Finance Committee shall be notified of all contracts over the specified dollar amounts, so that's automatic. And we suggest that staff comment be solicited, and in particular that staff be asked to provide the specific amounts, for example, the duration, number of people, dollar amount, that are the thresholds alluded to above. So that's what we have, and it's a proposal to this committee, and if the committee wants to work on the language or act on it now, I guess it's on the floor.
Is this a motion?
Marty.
Would anybody like to move this proposal, and then we could act on it and then table it if we're not ready, but act on it if we are?
Yeah, Lydia.
Okay, Lydia's moved it.
Okay.
Was that you, Marty, that I heard?
Yes, it was.
Go for it.
I just wondered if you could explain why you chose these certain things and where you feel these, and the specified amounts will come from the PNB, or what are those
What we contemplated was that we would ask staff, because, for example, on the last call, somebody raised a question. So we would say, okay, a specified dollar amount. So we'll ask staff for their recommendation, and then that would be incorporated into our consideration. So if they say, oh, well, we think it should be $500,000, we might say, well, we think it should be lower. But we would ask them for a recommendation and then debate that, and that process would occur prior to its going to the PNB.
I see. And could you give a motivation for why you chose the certain kinds of things you did, the copyright, et cetera?
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I think each of us raised different issues, so maybe each of us can address why. You want to go first, Takam? I think you raised the issue, actually you and Grace raised persisting for longer than a specified duration and affecting more than a specified number of people.
That's right. The period of time had to do with if Pacifica was going to enter into contract.
A little louder?
If Pacifica was going to enter into contracts that say, you know, with a certain, to sponsor a certain event for the next 10 years, well, that's a commitment that I think maybe some input from the board should be involved in making that decision. The other item I brought up was through my personal experience at WPFW that when contracts affect a certain number of individuals within the network, that you know, you get people that are hurt or whatever, that are dissatisfied with management, and if, you know, management had the support of the board on the contracts that they sign, then, you know, problems wouldn't persist.
To add to that, this is Grace Aaron. I think that's all we could think of at the moment. If there are other things that should be included, I think we're open to suggestions.
This is Lydia. Can you add me to this deck?
Sure, and I'll go ahead and do the other. So the contracts for amounts over a specified dollar amount should be obvious. I can elaborate if anyone thinks it's necessary. The fourth one, if they're given to council for drafting a review, the idea is that, and by the way, there was a clause in the interim contracts policy that said this isn't meant to apply to contracts of, you know, to standard contracts of longstanding use in the foundation, for example, employment contracts or anything. The idea is if you change something or if you're writing something that is a new way of doing things that basically has some policy implications or liability implications, et cetera, that's something the board should know about. So if it's something that rises to the level of we ask our council to, okay, draft us this contract or review one, and review may be too much, but I don't think so. The idea is if it's important enough to ask the lawyer to look at it, then the board should be aware that the contract is being contemplated and later executed. So that was seemed to be a good threshold. And then the last thing is intellectual property and distribution rights. This is, for example, take the AudioPort contract that says that when you sign on to AudioPort and submit content, the following distribution agreement is entered into. So anything that determines how we distribute, what rights are given away or retained, those things, a similar example would be volunteers, those things are really crucial to the institution. Who owns what and who's free to do what are sort of the central decisions. So that kind of contract should also be, the board should also be aware of. And then the rest of it you didn't ask about, but those are the items.
Okay.
Could you put me on the stack too?
Yeah, so who was somebody
Lydia. Long
before Sarf? So Lydia and then Sarf?
Okay, I think that actually the greater problem is when you don't have specific dates. So an open timeline on a contract that could go on indefinitely could be far costlier. So this whole thing, and I absolutely think it's absolutely necessary, by the way, to have guidelines. I want to preface it with that for contracts. But the way what we received seems vague and ambiguous, but more than that, it's like everybody is trying to say something, because I share Marty's feeling, I think it was, like there are specific reasons for each thing, but it's like not spelled out. And so because it's not spelled out, it's very difficult to say that the language is sufficient for that particular instance. So either throw in there some examples to make it clear, or clarify the language. The other thing is, for example, the way David explained it right now, I think that's wonderful, and I think that should be the premise of this and the something that precedes the actual recommendations to explain why we need it. More specifically, over and above just saying that it's, you know, anything that goes to counsel, I think you have to specify as to what, you know, what is your thinking behind this and what kinds of contracts, whether it's, you know, a contract for Apple One for a secretary for the day or something like that versus whatever. Okay, the other thing is I have one more question on number two. It says, affect more than a specified number of people. Mm-hmm. Within Pacifica, what does all of that mean? I mean,
what it meant was, the within Pacifica is obviously there may be things we do that affect, you know, hundreds of thousands of listeners. But and within Pacifica was a way of finessing the fact that we have volunteers and we have paid staff. We have people of a lot of different, you know, in a lot of different roles. So within Pacifica generally meant you're involved with Pacifica as a volunteer, as a paid staff, as management, whatever. And what we were trying to do is figure out a way to define a contract and develop a clear guideline that says if a contract does so-and-so, it's of enough importance. We don't want to bother with trivial, like, services contracts or other mm-hmm. things like that. It's like, what's important? Well, if it affects, for example, 30 or 40 or 100 people, or it affects everybody who's working here, even if it may not seem like a big deal, if it affects everybody, yeah, we want to know that it's being addressed.
But, I mean, for example, where in this would you address hiring a consultant that has not been run by the board for a specific task for an exorbitant amount of money? Where does that come into it?
Well, if the amount is exorbitant, it's because it's over a specified dollar amount. If the amount isn't exorbitant, it doesn't need to be reviewed. The board doesn't need to be notified as a contract.
Right, but that specified dollar amount, are you guys going to come up with a specified dollar amount?
No, what we're going to do is, if there's agreement, and even if we send this back to the working group for more work, what we want is to ask the staff, okay, if we're going to specify an amount, what threshold do you recommend should trigger this process? So we get them to tell us rather than pulling a number out of the hat.
Oh, okay.
Recommendation will be something this committee considers as a concrete recommendation. Then in response to what you said earlier about it's the indefinite contracts that matter, when we say a specified amount of time, we mean at least X years, but indefinite would probably fall into that category.
Okay, well, I'm just saying, I would want to have, like, more clarity before we can vote on that. But the way that you explained it is beautifully, but the way you explained it is not what's on the paper.
Okay.
And so that's all that I'm saying.
Okay.
Other than that, I totally agree with the concept and the specifics once it's explained.
Okay, Sarv was next, and
okay.
Is there anyone else?
Order for the chair there?
Yes.
I just want to let you, for the minutes here, it starts out saying inform the PNB coordinating of one paren.
Yeah, we can strike the one.
Yeah, take that out. I've also taken the liberty of doing a couple of other small things in there.
That's
like,
fine. I suspect that the language is going to come back to the working group, and we're going to hammer away on it.
I just want to let people know I've shaved a couple things. Put me on the stack, too.
Okay, so...
did you get me on the stack?
No, I didn't. So Sarv, Arpal, and Mary.
Well, thank you, Dave. I think I share some of the concerns that have been raised by other members. I also think that at the present time right now, even though I agree in general concept of it, I think it needs some more specificity for me to vote on it. The dollar amount, I also want to know so that we don't get into the detailed part of it. The first five elements that we have outlined here, specified duration, it might be a little too specific because there are hundreds of different kind of contracts, and I don't think these four elements are going to cover it. Also, I want to make sure there's no conflict of the previously existing policy of dollar amounts. For example, we had one time $10,000 or something like that, the coordinating committee, all the contracts come to them for approval.
That's the interim policy right now with
okay.
The interim ED is that, or the acting ED is that, and that's sort of where I got that language from,
okay.
Was that
all
policy.
Right. The other concern that I have is, in general, I think the boards are the policy-making bodies, and I think, for example, the reviewing of the contract itself, it's a very, very detailed and laborious and thorough process. And I'm not quite so sure if members on our committees, some of them are really either have the expertise or know how to really review the contracts. So they might have a little hard time finding the expertise. Our committees are very, very busy, and to involve them in some detail kind of calculations of evaluation of contracts, it might not be a prudent use of our time here for the board. I think that's what I think in overall looking at it, I think what we should do is set the policies and review of the contract. If we want, we should be able to ask the staff to do that and come back to us, and we should be able to rely on the expertise. If they don't have it, if they need to get one, they will have to get one, and whatever advice they need. Because I have done some contract evaluations before, and it's not that easy. So,
and you please put me on the stack. This is Max.
So these are some of my concerns. But overall, I think we should have a policy, and I'll go with that. But at the present time, I'm not ready to vote on this.
And I'd like to make a clarifying comment. The what we've suggested is these terms that we've set are things that trigger the notification by the executives to the coordinating committee. There's not necessarily a review triggered. It's just anything like this, let us know you're doing. And then the committee exercises its own judgment to determine whether anything further comes.
Dave, the very next sentence, it says, the CC shall be given authority to request PNB review prior to execution if it feels the review approval are desirable necessity, and to assign review of the contract to other committees of the board.
Right. So, but the point is that the coordinating committee exercises its discretion as a committee on whether or not to do that. I'm not debating. I wanted to make clarification.
What I'm saying is that this is my concern. So
okay, I understand.
That I think that the expertise of people on these committees, I'm not quite so sure that they're, have done a lot of contract analysis.
Got it. I apologize. I should not
have
the chair to do that. Mary was next, and then Max.
Okay.
What about
I'm sorry. R. Paul, then Mary, then Max.
Okay. Yes. First of all, I really think that the PNB should be informed of any of the contracts that are coming up. One thing. Now, this would only affect the executive director and Pacifica National, right?
The idea is that if the things cross that threshold in any of the units, the ED and CFO would let the board know.
Okay, so this would affect the local stations as well.
If it crossed those thresholds.
Because the way it's worded, I don't think it quite says that. The other thing is... on number one, persist for longer than a specified duration.
Wait, Paul, I have a personal privilege. Grace, I can't keep notes and do this. Could you keep notes on the points that people, or Hakam, can you guys keep notes on what the points that people are raising? So if it comes back to the working group, we have a listing of them. Would that be all right?
Sure, but a lot
Yes, I can take
Okay, thank you. I'm sorry, R. Paul, go ahead.
But it says persist for longer than a specified duration. I think that needs to be clarified that it would also be cumulative, because if, for instance, the specified duration would be 1 month, contract of 1 month, and somebody might decide, well, we'll just keep giving somebody three-week contracts one after another, and it will never trigger anything. Same with over a specified dollar amount. Somebody, you know, again, they'll get maybe a one-week contract, and it'll be a certain amount under the dollar amount. Then right after that, another 1 week. In other words, it needs to be specified at some point that it would be cumulative as well as just a single thing. Otherwise, you get something that some of us have experienced where things renew themselves a lot, and they accumulate into something that, if it was all at once, it would trigger this, but sort of flies below the radar otherwise. And I am thinking perhaps we need to probably recommit this to the committee for a couple of things.
Oh, yeah, I assumed that.